12:59 a.m. on Tuesday morning, and we are here to fill you in on everything you need to know about last night's Emmy Awards.
On a night we were constantly reminded how diverse this year's nominations were, the winners were mostly white. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Game of Thrones won the top awards. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're here to talk about who won, who lost, what happened to the hosting, and whether justice was served. We'll be right back after the break, so don't go anywhere.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Indeed. When it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need help getting your shortlist of qualified candidates fast. With Indeed, post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates. And when you need to hire fast, accelerate your results with sponsored jobs. New users can try for free when you sign up at Indeed.com/NPR podcast. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And in our fourth chair tonight, joining us from his studio in the great state of Florida, is NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Hi, Eric.
Fighting fatigue.
But staying up like a champ to join us for this show.
Oh, it's now, so much fun.
This is the fun part of your evening.
It actually is.
Yeah, of course. Mine too. So, Glenn, I want to go to you first. You and I have been going back and forth handling some of the news tonight. So talk to me about what sort of was your impression of the ceremony. What's your takeaway?
What's most interesting to me, I guess, is what happens when the 800-pound gorilla of Veep isn't around to dominate everything. It changes the actress categories. It changes the comedy categories because Veep's won a lot and Julia Louis-Dreyfus won 6 years in a row. Mm-hmm. So in her absence, what happens to the comedy acting categories is they split right down the middle between two brand new shows, Barry and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So Brosnahan wins for Best Actress in a Comedy.
Alex Borstein
wins for Best Supporting Actress, and then Marvelous Mrs. Maisel goes on to win Best Comedy. That's at least new. And on the other side, on the actor categories, it's Bill Hader, of course, for Barry, which was a surprise to me, but a very welcome one.
Yeah.
And Henry Winkler, who had never won
a
Primetime Emmy Award.
Henry Winkler's first Emmy.
His first Primetime Emmy. Yeah, he's won some like a kids show stuff, but let's not count that. But this is a big deal, and he was charming because that's his job.
Yeah. He always seems like a pleasant dude, and I was very happy for him, and that was a lot of
and
fun.
And he was happy for himself.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Absolutely. Eric, what were your takeaways from the ceremony?
Well, what was interesting to me was this sort of balance between new and old that we saw playing out. I'm not so sure that Maisel wouldn't have done well, even if Veep was still in contention, because it seems to be this shiny new object in the television industry. And there was a lot of love for Maisel out there before we got to these Emmys. But it was also interesting to see some old favorites. You know, Game of Thrones came out of nowhere. I really didn't think it was going to win Best Drama this year. I really thought Handmaid's Tale had it sewn up because of how relevant it was. And to also see the assassination of Gianni Versace take all the limited series awards, and Godless from Netflix kind of come out and also take a couple of important awards in limited series, TV movie.
And Gianni Versace won for directing and for limited series and for Darren Criss, but there were some other ones that went elsewhere. There was, Stephen, remind me, we were talking about these while they were happening.
Ricky Martin denied his one step closer to an EGOT.
Did you watch it, though?
Wow.
There was no way. There was no way he was going to win.
Yeah, he was not.
Especially given the competition.
Yeah.
There was no way he was going to win.
There were some that went other directions. But yeah, and I wasn't surprised by that because People vs. O.J. Simpson certainly cleaned up when they were around.
Emmy loves Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, boy,
So when he gives them something to really sink their teeth into, he always does well. Although I was wondering if that was going to play out. Barry seemed to be kind of under the radar. I didn't necessarily think. I think Bill Hader didn't think he was going to win.
Nope.
Yeah, he looked quite surprised.
He looked very surprised. A lot of people were surprised. I mean, it seemed like it was Donald Glover and maybe Ted Danson and maybe William H. Macy were going to battle it out. So to have him come out of nowhere. Now, I thought he was great. And I gave him a Degi Award, which is my, you know, my awards that I give before the Emmys.
Uh-huh. He thought that was his consolation prize.
I figured that he probably thought that was all he was going to get. And look, you know, he gets this. But and also, even to see, like, Regina King win for Seven Seconds.
So now, I will watch her and... I mean, she's so good in everything.
You know, I thought that was actually a pretty decent series, and she was amazing in it.
Yeah.
And to have somebody win an award like that, like, she won because she really did a great job.
And I have to say, I think the Regina King one is a great example of where Emmy Awards actually can do some good for television, because I think that show was one where it really, for me, I love her, and that show was over...
Seven seconds?
Yeah. It was over before I really was aware of it. It had dropped, and it had gone by, and they had said they weren't going to do any more of it, so I never went back and watched it, and this was a really good reminder, like, oh yeah, that's Regina King. I want to go back and watch that, which now I think I will. Stephen, what were your moments tonight?
Boy, you know, my frustration with the Emmys in general is that the Emmys tend to be given out in bunches and in streaks.
Yeah.
And so... Glenn mentioned 800-pound gorillas. The Emmys tend to... Remember when, like, Frasier won year after year after year? You could sense, even though you had new shows winning the comedy categories... Other than those two, I felt, very satisfying wins for Barry, Mrs. Maisel just felt like a freight train barreling through those categories. And
because, if I can add, because it wasn't just the acting categories that we talked about, it was also writing and directing and comedy.
Kept seeing Amy Sherman-Palladino in
her
hat.
Yeah.
You know, just over and over again, especially because of the way they arrayed the awards in the telecast, it just was like Maisel.
Right.
You know, and so you just get this feeling, like, even though I, you know, I filled out a predictions ballot and just biffed it wildly, at the same time, the show felt predictable, even though I had not predicted it. So, you know, that frustration, you know, kind of came up a few times. And
that is a no-win scenario.
That is a no-win scenario.
If I was the producer of the show, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
because I think when called upon, and I did the same thing on my ballot, Stephen sort of called some things that he thought might happen that wouldn't be the most obvious thing to happen. Like, I don't want to say lazy, but like the most pattern following thing to happen.
I picked cynically.
Yeah.
And I felt that, you know, thinking like Juggernauts, that A Handmaid's Tale, like last year, would come in and kind of dominate. It was basically shut out. I thought Atlanta would have a stronger
something.
Atlanta being shut out was really surprising.
Such
to me.
A formatively inventive show.
And they were into that show last year.
And this season they pushed the boundaries of that show in some remarkable ways. And I certainly thought, kind of on the more technical directing, writing side, that show would get much more love than it got. I mean, it got no love. I appreciated that in the dramas, they kind of spread the awards out a little bit more. And you had surprises like Regina King that were satisfying and exciting to see. It was nice. I don't watch Westworld, but it was nice to see Tandy Newton up there. I've always liked her. But as a whole, the telecast itself fell very, very flat for me.
You know, it's funny. It's interesting to hear you say that, because Atlanta didn't win so that Barry, a newer show, could win.
Sure.
I know. So I
think it's kind of interesting. Like, it's hard to fault a show for not giving you the award wins that you expected. I mean, that's the interesting thing about this Emmys, is that people thought Atlanta was going to win. People thought Handmaid's Tale was going to win. Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, Barry won. Maisel won. Now, Game of Thrones.
I was going to say, I think on the drama side, this argument falls apart a little bit.
Except for the acting.
Well, except Matthew Reese.
That's amazing, you know? Long overdue. Yeah. And really,
Claire
really welcome.
Claire Foy, though, man. Can we just take a minute to be sad that Keri Russell didn't get to join her man on stage with her Best Actress Emmy like she should have gotten?
Yeah, that was surprising. Also, we should have a moment of mourning for the fact that Claire Foy wins a freaking Emmy for Queen Elizabeth, goes on stage, and doesn't say, thank you. It's right there. The
it's
moment
right there.
Was made for
well,
it, and she biffed it.
And I think it was really sad to me also to see, as much as I agree that I would have cheered if it had been Keri Russell, and I have nothing against Claire Foy. I just saw Claire Foy in a movie. She's a good actress,
yep.
right? No problem with Claire Foy. But I also would have been thrilled if it had been Sandra Oh.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I think a show that to me had the inventiveness and freshness and actress talent.
Kind of dynamism of performance.
Of Killing Eve, to me, for that show to go completely unrecognized, particularly when what we're talking about, look, I loved Barry. I was really happy about Bill Hader. I think he's a good actor. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these wound up being a show full of white people that won, as opposed to a show that was a little more diverse that didn't win. So if you're talking about, you know, Game of Thrones versus Handmaid's Tale or Barry versus Atlanta, you know, whatever you think about those shows, it did wind up being a very white Emmys.
Sandra Oh lost the acting category, but she won awards banter. Her bit with Andy Samberg was one of the standout bits of banter. Yeah. I mean, there were some better than average banter, and there was also some stuff that dropped dead. But, I mean, she was a star.
Yeah.
We were supposed to come out here and read the winner, but instead, I've decided to speak from the heart.
What? Why'd you rip the envelope?
I don't know. I was in the moment. I got overwhelmed.
Now, how are we going to know who the winner is?
Oh, my God, I shouldn't have done that. Should we just make it up?
No, I don't think we can do that.
The winner is La La Land.
No, don't say that.
What's interesting to me about the Emmys is that once you're nominated, you submit a sample of your work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because I had to put together a radio preview of the Emmys, I had to go through Killing Eve and try to find scenes that would showcase how good Sandra Oh was in that role.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough. She's a great actress, but she didn't get a lot of standout scenes where you could see her work as an actress sort of kind of shown off.
Yeah.
And so what we don't know is we don't know what the Emmy voters actually saw in order to make their determinations. All we know is how we felt about the performances after we saw the whole thing. I wonder if one thing, when I see something like Claire Foy win in that category, I think to myself, man, you know, I know how hard it was for me to find a scene that showed off what Sandra Oh was doing because it was so subtle. And really, the better role didn't even get nominated, Jodie Comer.
Mm-hmm.
So they were already at a disadvantage. And I think Emmy might have just seen it as, you know, it was an honor for you to get nominated.
And I think that's a common problem. I think there are a lot of shows, not just performances, but also shows where the writing, what really makes the writing brilliant, is the way all the pieces fit together.
Yeah.
And so when you're trying to nominate an individual episode, it's not that you can't show the strength of a show like Atlanta in an individual episode, but it's one of the reasons why people win a lot for pilots, I think, is that they tend to be somewhat self-contained, so you can see the genius of the writing. You know, we just got through, you know, watching Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph in Forever. I don't think a lot of the pieces of that show would make any sense if you didn't watch the entire thing.
Yeah.
I think the entire project would sort of be lost. So I think Eric makes a good point.
Hard to imagine people actually watching that show after seeing them on the Emmys, though.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, all right.
We don't love our negativity too much, but I did feel
exactly.
The Colin Jost and Michael Che hosting just seemed incredibly flat to me.
I found their casting as hosts of an awards show to be shocking. To take the two least dynamic performers on Saturday Night Live, two guys who are brought out on Saturday Night Live to read jokes from a desk,
mm-hmm.
and expect that to translate to any kind of game hosting presence.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler did it.
I was just going to say,
they're dynamic actors.
There have been times when Weekend Update was a place for some of the strongest people on the show, right? There have been times when Weekend Update was really a place for people who were great, or at least were great at that. I don't particularly think Jost and Che are great at Weekend Update
either.
So I'm not sure it's so much translating Weekend Update over to that to this setting. I think they're just not very interesting. And they both seem...
And not very interested.
Well, and what I wrote in the wrap-up that I wrote was like, it was like dads who had been forced to MC a kids event and they didn't want to be there, but they went up there and they read the
Get
jokes.
Get out of the ball pit, you.
Exactly. They went up there.
Don't make me come back there.
They read the jokes, but they didn't want to be there, but they had been kind of pressed into service to help out. And they were just sort of somewhat surly about, like, you know, we don't want to be here, but we have to be here. So you should laugh at our jokes because of how much we don't want to be here, which is not good award show hosting.
Yeah, and I took a different lesson from this. It felt to me like they were super intimidated by the gig. And they had all their buddies from Saturday Night Live come in and present and do bits. I mean, why in the world were Maya Rudolph and Fred Armisen on that show as much as they were? It felt like it was the Lorne Michaels Emmys. It didn't feel like those guys were hosting.
Yeah, and I thought that the thing that Che did do, which he called the Reparations Emmys,
solid work. That was good.
He went around and he gave Emmys, which he said he stole from Bill Cosby, to a variety of black actors who had not won in the past. Your Marla Gibbs, your Jimmy Walker, your Kadeem Hardison, Tashina Arnold from Martin, just a lot of different folks. I thought that worked pretty well.
Man, Jaleel, Steve Urkel was the OG black nerd. I mean, if it wasn't for you, there'd be no Donald Glover. There'd be no Kanye West. There'd be no Obama.
Did I do that?
Yeah, man. You did that.
With Michael Che, whenever he says he's going to talk about race, half the time I'm like, oh, man, what's he going to say? Because half the time he's going to say something stupid. But this time he actually uncorked a bit that was really telling and really funny and really kind of irreverent. And I wish his work on that area was more consistent on Saturday Night Live. But half the time it feels like he comes up with stuff that exacerbates stereotypes rather than poking fun at them. But, you know, these guys are young and, you know, they're building their chops. You know, we're seeing them kind of grow up before our eyes. And it just felt like this Emmys was something that they just weren't ready for.
Yeah.
And they kind of ceded too much of it to other performers.
That is a very generous interpretation that I am going to try to adopt because it's nicer than mine.
Well, here's what the Reparation Emmy, here's what worked. Concept was solid. Execution was spot on. Everything, details of that thing worked, unlike the opening number. Concept is smart. Concept is solid. The execution, you just don't have good singers. And the sound mix is off. And so
the song wasn't strong.
So it just kind of collapses on itself.
And we should explain,
from the jump,
if you didn't see it, it was a song about Hollywood having solved its diversity problem. It was actually called We Solved It. Mm-hmm. And they were extolling the presence of Sandra Oh and a couple of other specific people and then saying, oh, we solved the whole thing. And it involved ultimately Kate McKinnon and Kenan Thompson, but also Kristen Bell and Sterling K. Brown and Titus Burgess and Andy Samberg briefly.
So much goodwill on that stage.
Yeah, a lot of goodwill. But I agree. The execution was the problem. Somebody mentioned to me on Twitter, they seemed like they had just learned it. And I thought that was absolutely true.
When Kenan started singing, he was off time with the band.
He
was like a measure and a half off or something. It was driving me crazy.
Yeah, it starts off and then Titus Burgess and Kristen Bell come out, two real singers. And you're like, oh, this is what it could be. And then it just sort of keeps going.
I did appreciate the opportunity to hear Sterling K. Brown sing because I have heard Sterling K. Brown sing before, but many people have not. Mm-hmm. So I was happy to hear that go by.
Usually when we have Emmys hosts, Oscar hosts, whatever, the deal we make is even if you're not great, we don't see that much of you over the course of the evening. Mm-hmm. That is the deal we make. And they broke the deal.
They kept
coming out and saying every time, we're back. With that, that's the energy. That's the charisma that they brought to their game.
Let's go back to Maya Rudolph and Fred Armisen for the ninth time. And they look like hostages.
And now anti-comedy. You know,
let me crack one more joke about how the white people who win don't thank Jesus. Let me crack one more of those jokes.
Well, the funny thing about that, you know, Michael Che was doing a whole thing about who thanks Jesus and who doesn't. And to me, it was much funnier, the people who received awards, a couple of them kind of threw in a little some version of thanks to Jesus. Chrissy Teigen was there, of course, with John Legend, her husband, who played Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar. She took the opportunity to throw in a little thanks Jesus.
So did
Regina King. And they both kind of acknowledged that they were playing
and
off
Dandy
that bit.
Newton thanked God. She said, I'd like to thank her.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. It was funnier
the
when
people of color stepping up.
Yeah. It was funnier other people doing it, I thought, than it was when Michael Che was making the joke in the first place. But anyway, yeah, we will have to hope for better hosting or different hosting.
There are little nuggets of gold. RuPaul's Drag Race finally won. He's won for hosting forever. This is the first win for RuPaul's Drag Race. Not the best year for that show, but certainly a long overdue Emmy Award.
That's often how it goes. You're lucky they pried that thing away from The Amazing Race.
I know, right?
Going to win it for the rest of all of our lives. And also, we should mention last week tonight, Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. So
the big,
I'm just naming
categories. Naming categories. Boy, and you do a public marriage proposal.
Oh, that's right.
I'm gonna look at you, arms crossed, eyes narrowed. But it was
the hardest stuff.
Guy named
Glenn Weiss. Glenn Weiss won for directing the Oscars.
Yep, who knows how to produce a moment, as you said in your write up, Linda.
Yeah.
It pierced my steely black heart just a little bit, but people should not propose marriage.
How much of America saw, directing the Oscars and went to the bathroom or got some popcorn because they thought they knew what was coming up?
No, it's true. It was an unexpected moment. He proposed and she got up on stage and she accepted, and it was a very nice moment, and he got some extra time.
Jan, you are the sunshine in my life. And Mom was right. Don't ever let go of your sunshine. You wonder why I don't like to call you my girlfriend? Because I want to call you my wife.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of our Emmys wrap-up. You can find Eric always on Twitter @Deggans. And of course, thanks to all of you guys for staying up with me to chat about the Emmys.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. We will be back here on Friday. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. That will help more folks to find the show. We will see you all on Friday, and get some sleep.
Hi, I'm Daniel Alarcón, host of NPR's Spanish language podcast, Radio Ambulante. This week, a year after the earthquakes that devastated the country, Mexico is still dealing with the aftermath. Schools were especially damaged, and the government promised to rebuild them fast, but two journalists discover that the truth about that reconstruction is much more complicated.